Well, first of all, how many people, if you ain't been here, you don't know what I've been talking about. Right, Ron? Ron's from out of town. It's not like he's missed a lot of church. He comes and visits us a couple times a year. How many saw that movie Like Arrows? How many got to go see that? Very impactful movie. We've been talking about children, and I've tickled you with some stuff that we're going to be coming out with, and I'm still not going to tell you today yet. But very excited about. But that movie was very impactful. And I'm telling you, if you have kids, or if you're a grandparent even, for grandkids, or Dusty, did that impact you as a grandparent? Yes. I encourage you, I'm sure they'll come out with DVDs of it. It's Family Life Ministry. But it was very interesting. There was a quote that I picked up on during that movie, and it goes right along with what I've been talking about. And they did like an after-movie panel or discussion with the Kendrick brothers. They were the ones that helped produce it, and Dennis and Barbara Rainey, and then Ralph Lapine, I think was his name. But anyways, here's the quote, and it's not exact. This is how I remembered it. It says, "I know how long my children will live, and I must prepare them for it." Eternity. Your children are going to live for eternity. And we need to be, as parents, preparing them for that eternity. And if you remember a couple weeks ago, I talked about, you know, our idea of heaven, and one aspect of it being it is eternity. Heaven is eternity. And we need to be eternity minded. We can't be earthly minded. You know, Pastor Rob was talking about the offering, and this rose up in my heart. We don't operate as children of the kingdom. We don't operate on the same economic system as the world does. You know, what is this? We are citizens of a different country, right? We're citizens of a heavenly country. We operate on a heavenly economic system, and we don't have to depend on the world for our finances. I'll give you just a quick example, and I didn't intend to share this, but I may have shared a little bit of this before, but years ago, this was back, gosh, I think, it was either right before Caleb was born, it might have been right after him. Yeah, it was after him, because we sold our house here, and we had a little money from where we sold the house. And my dad was involved in the stock market, and so I always wanted to, you know, follow in his footsteps. And so I took our entire, it wasn't a windfall, it was a nice little chunk from the sale of the house. And I bought one stock, and nobody even knew about it. Let me back up a little bit. I was believing that I would hear from the Holy Spirit how to invest it, okay? It wasn't just go out there. And he led me to a company. It was called Aclara Biosciences. They're not even in business anymore, okay? This is how. And I went to my dad, and I said, "Dad, I'm thinking about putting this." He said, "What? First of all, you don't put it all into one stock." And this is, it was biomed. You know, it was up and coming, and, you know, it was kind of a flash in the pan. Anyways, long story short, I did it. I didn't listen to what conventional wisdom was telling me. I mean, my dad's been investing in the market for years and years and years, has done well. And he said, no, don't do that. And he looked up the company and did, no, definitely don't do that. Fivefold return on that because, and I believe this, that I listened to what the Holy Spirit was telling me. I didn't listen to conventional wisdom. I didn't listen to, now I'm not, y'all got to be careful here. I've got to be careful here. Don't empty your savings account and go buy some, you know, stock you never heard of. I'm not saying that. I'm saying we don't operate on the same system. We have to hear from God. And when we do, and if we're tithers, we're believers, you know, we have the favor of God. We have the mind of Christ. We have the Holy Spirit leading and guiding us into all truth. He'll show you things. He'll show you things. And you can turn that thing around. I don't know where that came from. But anyways, it was for somebody today. I wanted to encourage you that we do not operate on the worldly economic system. We are citizens of a different country. We have Jehovah Jireh as our provider. Amen? Amen. Not this world, not the government, not your parents, kids. Amen. Glory to God. So what are we doing talking about this movie and talking about that quote, preparing kids for eternity? And even if you don't have kids, you know people that have kids, right? You know people that have kids. I mean, we have to have the mindset of eternity. This, you know, I shared some of this last time, that our life here is but, the word says, is but a vapor, but a puff of smoke. Trisha, 70 years is but a puff of smoke. But a puff of smoke. It's temporary. Our life here in this earth is temporary. But we need to be living it like we're living in eternity. So we need to be living according to what the Word of God says. Amen? We need to get our idea of what eternity is aligned with what the Word says. We need to get our faith in alignment with what the Word says. And that's what we've been talking about, getting in alignment, getting in alignment with our assignments. We all have assignments in this earth while we're here in this earth, because we're here, we're to occupy, we're to be setting up the kingdom of heaven here on earth, amen, through our faith. What was the one thing, and this is a recap, that Jesus marveled at? Faith. If you remember the story, if you were here last week, you don't remember it. If you were here and you don't remember, shame on you. He marveled at the faith of the centurion. Remember? The centurion came to him and said, hey, I've got this servant that's sick. And Jesus says, I'll come. I'll lay hands on him, or I'll come. And he said, no, you don't need to come to my house. I'm paraphrasing all this. You don't need to come to my house. Just say the word. He had faith in the authority of Jesus to just say the word and his servant would be healed. Getting our faith in alignment with that. You know, we believe in the authority of Jesus, but then Jesus gave it to who? Us. We have that same authority. We can but say the word and it'll be done, right? Speak unto that mountain. Let it be removed and cast into the sea. We have that same authority on the inside of us. Because we are the church, right? Yes. Say, I am the church.
I am the church.
Jesus marveled at that centurion's faith. And it was his faith in the authority of Jesus. And we have to understand our authority in this earth. We talked about this last week. So it's time to get our faith in alignment with that. We looked at Matthew, where we saw that he, not only has he given us authority, but power. So he has given us the power to back up that authority, right? Some of that power comes through the Holy Spirit, right? When you don't know how you ought to pray, pray in the Holy Ghost, and that power will come. I'm telling you, we have power and authority in this earth to change our environment. We talked about that, right? We need to be changing the environment that we're in. Right? I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm going to back up some, because I want to make sure that we get this. I want to make sure that we're thorough with this. How do we access this authority and power? Well, it's by faith. We have to understand faith. What is our vision here? Sow, grow, and go. We're sowing faith into people's lives so that they can grow up in the righteousness of God, so that they can go and do the things that we're talking about. Amen? Well, today I want to combine those two ideas of eternity and getting our faith in alignment. So how does our idea of eternity help our faith so that we can walk in authority in this earth? Let me say that again. How does our idea of eternity help our faith so that we can walk in authority here on earth? Turn to Hebrews 11, verse 1. We shared this. I'm going to share this again. Just bring it back into the forefront of your thinking about what faith is. Because we are in, I'm telling you, we are in exciting times. They are exciting times to me. We are in some very exciting times when it comes to faith, when it comes to the church, when it comes to our role in this earth, when it comes to our influence in this world. Things are happening. And I believe, if you think things are happening now, I believe they're going to snowball and get and start to accelerate some of the things that are going to be going on in the churches, the church's influence in the not only the political realm, but in the financial realm. I think you're going to see, you're going to start, and it's been prophesied and talked about, but you're going to start, you're going to actually see, I believe you're going to actually see, physically see that wealth transfer that the Word talks about start to happen in greater measure. What am I talking about? The wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous. There is wealth out there laid up for us. We don't need physical money when we're in eternity, when we're, you know, after the return of Jesus, right? After the 1,000-year millennia, and we're reigning and ruling with Him. We won't need physical wealth. I'm thinking He's saying we need it now, though. And that wealth is going to come in to the hand of the righteous. Why? Because they can be trusted with it. They can be trusted to do the right things with it. If you can't be trusted with it, I'm sorry. You're going to be like that servant that got cast into outer darkness that buried his in the sand. Amen? Hebrews 11. Are you there yet? I'm not there. Hallelujah. Out of the Amplified, how does it read? It says, now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of things we hope for. It's talking about faith, what faith is. The assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see. And the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Perceiving as real fact what is not perceived to the senses. My senses tell me when I look at this, when I handle it, when I pick it up, when I see it's got four legs, when I sit on it, my senses tell me this is a chair. That is real fact, that is a chair. Well, faith does the same thing in the spiritual realm. Amen? It perceives as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So we must perceive one eternity as real fact. That's where I want to tweak your thinking maybe, or at least get you thinking on eternity. We need to start thinking of eternity as real fact. Not just some future event in the by and by. Amen. It is real fact. We need to be thinking about that right now. Because it's going to affect our life. It's going to affect how we think, how we use our faith. What does that mean? Are we living for something more than what we see on this earth? Yes. And when we see life as eternity, we have the faith to walk through any trial or tribulation. When we see life as eternity, we have the faith to walk through any trial or tribulation that we're going through in this earth right now. Do you see that? Am I making that connection? So where is our faith today? Is it in alignment with what the Word says? And how does our perception of eternity affect our faith? That's what we want to talk about. That's what I want to talk about today. If heaven, where we will spend eternity, is just some future place, then what are we looking forward to? Then we just tend to merely exist on this earth. You know, we're just waiting for the sweet by and by. We're just biding our time. We're just hanging on. You know, we're just barely surviving. If that's your thinking, if that's your viewpoint, that eternity is somewhere out there, some future place, then you're just biding your time here, right? No. But if our thinking is eternity is now, eternity is what we're preparing for, then it's going to affect our faith today. Knowing that we're going to live in eternity, that should encourage you to be able to walk through anything. Does that make sense? Getting our faith in alignment. Understanding how thinking about eternity affects our faith. That's wrong thinking when we think that, well, I can endure. You know, I used to say this all the time, and I've stopped saying it some, but whenever I was in a situation or a place I didn't want to be or had to do something I didn't want to do, I said, I can do anything if I know it's temporary. Have y'all ever had that attitude? I mean, some of y'all go to work every day thinking that I can do this as long as it's over at 5 o'clock. But I used to have that. I used to say that all the time. I can do anything as long as I know it's temporary. And it kind of rings true with our life here on earth. We can do anything. We can go through anything. We can walk through any trial, any fire, because we know that it is temporary. This is but a temporary place for us, a temporary holding for us. But we do have things to do while we're here temporarily. Amen? We do have an assignment, and we need to get in alignment with what that assignment is. We can't have the attitude, you know, I'm just a lowly worm, a wretched sinner saved by grace. We'll receive grace someday in the sweet by and by, but no. That's hogwash, okay? That is wrong thinking. That is wrong thinking. You are so much more. You are so much more. If that were the case, I mean, when you got born again, God just translates you right then. Right? But no, He has a purpose and a plan and things for you to do on this earth. Not just exist. We're not here to just suck up oxygen. We are here to do something. We are here for kingdom business. Amen? We are here. We are remaining. We are occupying to transform the environment that we are in. To transform the environment. The world calls it your sphere of influence. Statistics say you have typically, on average, 200 people within your sphere of influence. That can be family, coworkers, people you run into in the community on a regular basis, groups you belong to, soccer moms and kids events, I mean, sports. They're on average 200. Now, I know some of y'all got, how many have over 1,000 friends on Facebook? I know Crystal Caldwell does. I don't. I'm not raising my hand. So your sphere of influence with technology has increased dramatically, if not exponentially. I want to get your thinking, okay? I'm trying to engage your thinking on this. That sphere of how are you influencing those people that you are coming in contact with on a regular basis? How are you, what, you can be impacting them negatively or positively. Or you could be neutral, I guess. I don't know. How are you making an impact in your environment, in your sphere of influence, in these people that you commune with really on a regular basis? We're to be transformed. I talked about this. This is kind of just all recap, but we need to be taking dominion where we are. You know, Adam had dominion. God gave it to him. Adam lost dominion, handed it over to Satan. Jesus died to give us dominion back. But now it's a choice. It's not, you know, Adam, I don't want to get into, I don't want to get into wrong. Adam was, I don't know, yeah, I don't know. I'm not going to go there because I haven't really looked at that close enough yet, but we have a choice. We have a choice whether to walk in that dominion, to wield that dominion, to wield that power and authority that's given to us. We can have it, right? I mean, we can have all the authority and all the power, but we have to use it. We have to make a choice to use it, right? To be influencing, to be transforming our environment. Where do we get this from? Look at Matthew chapter 16. And I'm just going to read it off my notes here because I printed it out. This is Amplified. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I tell you, you are Peter. And on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades, that is the powers of the infernal region, shall not overpower it or be strong to its detriment or hold out against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind that is declared to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or declare lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. What revelation or rock was Jesus talking about when he said, "This is the rock on which I will build my church"? Well, to get the answer, you just got to back up a few verses. Go to verse 13. It says, "Now when Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?' And they answered, 'Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you yourselves say that I am?' Simon Peter replied, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Then Jesus answered him, 'Blessed, happy, fortunate, and be envied are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood or men have not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.'" The rock was the revelation of Jesus' authority as the Son of God. That's the revelation. That's the rock that he's going to build his church on. The revelation that Jesus is the Son of God and has all authority and all power, and he's given that to us. He said he gave us the keys of the kingdom. That's where our power and authority comes from. That's what we need to be walking in. And then if you look at Mark 13 and Luke 9, I'm not going to turn there. He gave that to us. That's where it talks about him giving us that very same authority, the very same power that raised Christ from the dead. That very same power. We must take dominion and take back our rightful territory. Listen, this is just basic Bible that we all need to understand as we walk in this earth today. You know, we can come in here on Sundays and sing and praise and listen and walk right out of here on Sunday and do the exact same thing we did before on the Saturday before we came in here. Or we can use this time to get edified and lifted up and built up and get our faith increased, and so that we can go out and transform our environment, our sphere of influence. Amen? Adam gave it up. Jesus got it back. Now we have to exercise it. We have to transform our surroundings. And not, I said this last time, not be transformed by our surroundings. I mean, you see it in the schools, man. I'm telling you, they are trying to transform the kids. Where the kids, and I'm telling you, I believe that we are going to see a time where the kids, and I'm talking school, are going to transform their environment rather than be transformed by their environment. I think you're going to see it. It's been prophesied how the kids are going to be used in these last days. And it's our job, not just as parents, I'm talking about as believers, to encourage the youth of today to stand up for what they believe in. But first they have to know what they believe in. So are we teaching them what they need to know? Are we inspiring them to read for themselves and learn for themselves what they need to know to be successful against this onslaught of the enemy that is just, I mean, he is pounding them day in and day out in academia. And I saw a statistic. I should have drilled down into it a little further so I could speak a little more intelligently about it. But I saw a statistic about all your higher level education, all your schools of higher learning. What am I trying to? Colleges. And they were saying, they were showing how, basically how, oh gosh, see, I should have read down it. The basis of it was that very minimal percentage had a biblical worldview. Let's put it that way. Very, very small percentage of all academia. I mean, they did it all, had a very, very small sliver of percentage that had a biblical worldview. And these are the people that are training. I mean, y'all have heard it in the news, right? I mean, you got all these kids going to college. There's no jobs for them, da-da-da-da-da. You know, you hear all that. But this is what they are being trained up in. And it's coming down. I'm telling you, it's filtering down into the K-12 system. It's filtering down. About Caleb?
You tell
with Young Life?
Yeah.
So,
a wonderful testimony.
Just about how he's involved? Yeah, he's, so Caleb's at UVA, y'all know he is at UVA, and he started out in Young Life, and this is a testimony. Look, oh my gosh. This is, I'm getting emotional. This is how we are to be transforming our environment, okay? These college kids are going into these high school campuses and middle school campuses, and they are building relationship with these kids. And I don't know if you're not familiar with Young Life. I mean, I could talk about it all day, but they are not, okay, they're not Bible thumpers, right? They're not going in there and spouting off scripture. They're building relationships with them. How do they do that? They're coming to their games on their own time, their own dollar. We had Young Life kids that drove all the way up to the Plains, three and a half hours, just to watch the kids run in a race. I mean, they're committing themselves to these young high school and middle school kids, okay? In the hope to minister Jesus to them. That's the end goal. So Caleb, when he was here, you know, I never even heard of Young Life growing up. And when we moved up here, Young Life was very, very, Virginia Tech has a very active Young Life. So y'all should be thankful of that. They are very active. And he tells me even the Young Life at UVA is nothing like the Young Life at Virginia Tech. That's why I'm a Hokie. Them Wahoos ain't got nothing on us Hokies. I had to get my plug in there. You know? So this is a perfect example of how we're to be transforming our environment. These kids have gone into Auburn High School, right? Caleb got hooked up with Young Life. Got us hooked in with them. We have them out the house. They have a bonfire. They're going to be there Monday night, matter of fact, for a bonfire. But got him hooked into Young Life. And, of course, I hope he had a good foundation through us. But he has thrived. And now he is a Young Life leader going into high schools up there in Charlottesville and impacting lives up there. And he is so excited. He's in a small school. It's a Covenant Christian school. They only have about 200 students. But he said, Dad, we had 50 kids come out for club. That's 25% of the school. I mean, those numbers are unheard of in Young Life. And you're like, you know, we'll have a club and we're a school of 400 and we might have, I don't know, 13 to 20 or depends. Anyways, I said all that to say, yes, I'm celebrating Caleb and what he's doing, but that's a perfect example of how we are to be transforming our environment. These kids are going in and they're talking to these young students about Jesus. And it's impacting their lives. It impacted his. And now he's going off to camp in New York with Young Life for 5 weeks and just transforming their lives. Spirit win. I know. You can probably think back to all the years and the young people that have been impacted by that ministry. We're to be impacting our environment. That's just one example. What is yours? What is yours? How are you to be impacting your sphere of influence? I mean, what is it? If you don't know, just ask. If you lack wisdom, ask, and He'll give it to you liberally. Amen?
Yes.
I wrote this down. I said this last time. I think this is pretty profound, not because I said it, it's the word, but it says, if you don't see transformation happening around you, then you are not walking in the dominion that Jesus died to give you. You can say, I don't know where to start. I don't know where, how to walk into me. Well, start in your own life. Start in your own. Speak to your own body. Take dominion over your body, over your soul. Take dominion over your mind, your will, and your emotions. You know, that's where the attack is coming in, right? That's where the enemy is trying to get to you. He's trying to tell your mind, distract you, tell you that you can't do that, or bring other things to get you involved in that. But you need to take dominion over those thoughts immediately. Command them to come in alignment with what the Word says. Then start working on your family and friends. Speak to those relationships. Speak to their bodies and their souls. Start on your coworkers. Be careful. I don't want to get you fired. Then start in your community. When you go into stores and restaurants. And I mean, this is how you start to transform your environment. You got to start somewhere.
That's right.
You got to start somewhere. Whether it's in your own body, in your own home, you got to start. Just start. Just take that step of faith. I promise you, He will meet you where you are.
Yes.
He will. And you might be thinking, oh my Lord, I can't do that. He will. He will meet you. He will. Got to do it in faith, though. Can't be double-minded. You know, faith is a rare and precious thing. It really is. I think sometimes in these circles that we're in, we kind of take it for granted, maybe. And I think maybe even in these circles, some think they're in faith and they may not truly be in faith. But it's a rare and precious thing. You know, there's things called precious metals, right? Gold, silver, precious stones. Why are they so precious? Because they're rare. Faith is precious, which to me means it's rare. But faith is, I mean, it is so much more precious than these precious metals that we're talking about. Even Jesus had to search for it. He had to search for it. Turn to Luke, chapter 18. Rare and precious faith. I want to read this out of the NIV. I just like how this version reads. Luke 18, verse 1, out of the NIV. It says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, "Even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me." Verse 6 says, "And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?'" If the Son of Man comes and is looking for it, it's a rare thing. It's a rare thing. Turn over to Acts chapter 3. Acts 3. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. Sorry to keep switching back and forth on you guys. But y'all can handle it back there. Talking about faith. And this is part of getting our faith in alignment with what the Word says. And then if you add on that, our idea of eternity and how that helps our faith in this earth. Chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, when a certain man crippled from his birth was being carried along, who was laid each day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful." Y'all have heard this. We're going to go over it and we're going to unpack it a little bit. Y'all like that? Unpack, that's like a little modern phraseology I got picked up on. Drill down, I used that earlier too. I've used two verses. Judy's like, shut up and keep talking. Where was I? Verse 2, "When a certain man," I said that, "beautiful, so that he might beg for charitable gifts from those who entered the temple. So when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them to give him a gift. And Peter directed his gaze intently at him, and so did John, and said, 'Look at us.' And the man paid attention to them, expecting that he was going to get something from them. But Peter said, 'Silver and gold, money I do not have, but what I do have, that I give to you. In the use of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' Then he took hold of the man's right hand with a firm grip and raised him up. And at once his feet and ankle bones became strong and steady. And leaping forth, he stood and began to walk, and even went into the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking about and praising God. And they recognized him as the man who usually sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement, bewilderment, consternation over what had occurred to him. Now while he still firmly clung to Peter and John, all the people in utmost amazement ran together and crowded around them in the covered porch called Solomon's. And Peter, seeing it, answered the people, 'You men of Israel, why are you so surprised and wondering at this? Why do you keep staring at us as though by our own individual power or active piety we have made this man able to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our forefathers, has glorified his servant and son Jesus, doing him this honor, whom you indeed delivered up and denied and rejected and disowned in the presence of Pilate when he had determined to let him go. But you denied and rejected and disowned the pure and holy, the just and blameless one, and demanded the pardon of a murderer to be granted to you. But you killed the very source, the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, through and by faith in his name, has made this man whole. Has made this man whom you see and recognize well and strong. Yes, the faith which is through and by him, Jesus, has given the man this perfect soundness of body before all of you." And I like the NIV verse 16 says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong." It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see. It's the faith in the name of Jesus, the faith in that authority of Jesus. It's faith that made that man whole. Our faith must line up with what the Word of God says. And if we keep an eternity mindset, I'm telling you, it will help increase your faith in this earth. It'll help you walk through those trials. It'll help you in those times of tribulation, knowing that this is not the end. This is, even if your body dies, that is not the end. Eternity, forever. Living forever. This is temporary. This world is but temporary. But temporary. A puff of smoke, a vapor, a mist. We must, I'm telling you, in these last days, we must get our faith in alignment with what the Word says. We must be walking in the authority that Jesus died to give us. We must be transforming our environment. Listen, I know how, look, I'm a parent. I know there are parents in here. Parenting is hard because it's work. It requires intentional work to be a good parent. Doesn't it? Or am I just saying something here? Intentional. I'm talking intentional work to be a good parent. Our spiritual walk's no different. Our spiritual walk is no... It requires intentional work. To walk in this authority and power that I'm talking about. I mean, if we all received, listen, we all received the ability, but if we all received the power and authority the day that we got born again, we'd be all walking around spiritual giants. There wouldn't be a problem in this world around us, right? I don't see that. So we have to work at it, you know? Faith without what? Is what?
Dead.
It's intentional. It has to be intentional. We have to work at it. We have to work at transforming our environment. You know, some of us, I know, we like to think we're just this beacon of light and we walk in a room and whoosh, it's like that big, you ever seen these space movies where there's an explosion and you see this wave go out? And that's what we think. We walk into a room and this light beam just transforms the room, right? I mean, I haven't attained to that status. I don't know if anybody else has, but he has. Okay, maybe Pastor Ron. But it's work. It's intentional. We have to be intentional if we want to transform our environment. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen when we show up. Now, I know there are a lot of people glad to see you when you show up. I was glad to see Ron and Nancy today. They showed up. Is this making any sense? This is where we are. This is the day and time and age that we live in right now, where we are going to have to be intentional. It is going to take work. You know, the kingdom of God suffers violence, but it's the violent that take it by force. There is stuff for us to do, and we have to be intentional about it. We can't just walk through life anymore. You know, I think about this a lot. I don't know if y'all do. I'm going to reminisce a little bit. I think about this a lot lately. I don't know if it's an age thing or if it's just the season that I'm in. But I think back to times, and when you think back to times, you're like, oh, how nice it was back there. I didn't have a care in the world. You know, I didn't have a care. I just was living life. I was enjoying life. I was enjoying people, being around people, and I didn't have a care in the world. And it seems like there's heaviness is that's a strong word maybe, but there's the pressure of life sometimes comes down on us. And I think back to those days, I'm like, man, can't I just be carefree? And I believe that's possible. I do. And I'm endeavoring to get back to at least my idea of it, you know, but I'm getting tongue twisted here. We can be carefree. There's a way. Like Pastor Rob said, we don't need those worries. We don't need to worry. You don't need to be staying up at night worrying about things. You don't need to be anxious about anything. I see myself transporting back to those days, you know, where I was just carefree. Has anybody ever been carefree in their life? Do you remember those days, Robert? I got one person on board with me that remembers those days where he was carefree. Didn't have a thought for the, you know, future or impact. I mean, you see what I'm saying? And we can be that way. We can cast all our cares upon Him and be carefree. The Bible says, be still and know that I am God. We can have that peace within us. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to wait on Sundays to cast down our cares and for our burdens to be lifted or those yokes to be destroyed. We can do that on a daily basis right where we are because we are the church. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. We can walk in peace, live in peace, and walk in the dominion that He gave us. We need to start doing that. We need to be better at doing it. If you're doing it already, we just need to get better at doing it. And I hope you're encouraged today to do that. Think of eternity. How does that impact your faith here on this earth? How does that impact your walk on this earth? Are you in alignment with your assignment? Is your faith in alignment with what the Word says? And are you walking in that dominion that Jesus died to give you? Amen? Amen.